These earphones are pretty good, though. Huh?
No, these are great.
Yeah, guess how much I got them for? Like $19
each or together?
Each.
Oh, that's good too.
You know why? Because they were like on sale. Mm-hmm. Usually they're like $30-something, but
you know. I love a good deal.
I know, right?
Good deal's great.
Yeah. What to talk about, huh?
What to talk about? I want to hear more about your work with attachment.
You want to hear more about my work with attachment?
Yeah.
What do you want to know?
That's a good question. I guess like attachment is something that I am aware of. Mm-hmm. And I refer to it often. I think you can't be a therapist without that. Mm-hmm. But I'm curious, like, as you've been focusing more on attachment, as that has become more of your lens, mm-hmm. through which you do therapy, I guess I'm just curious of, like, what have you found as you've gone deeper?
Yeah, I guess.
It's a really broad question.
It's such a broad question.
But I just want to learn, yeah, at your feet, kind of.
Oh, gosh. I didn't cut my nails, so you better watch out. You might get scratched by my feet.
Okay, we don't have to talk about you. We don't have to actually talk about your feet.
Okay. For those of you who like feet, we're not shaming your kink, but we just want you to know that it's a joke.
It's a joke.
It is a joke.
Anyway.
I'm sex positivity. I just want you to know that I mean, not that you aren't, but you know, when you become when you try to be intentional about life, you begin to recognize that things that may seem, you know, fun also may be like, oh, that can be offensive. And this has everything to do with attachment, actually. I'm getting there. This is not a loose association. I'm not showing signs of dementia.
That's good.
So I'm getting there. But what I found, and I think in some ways I kind of covered this when I talked to you earlier in another conversation about this, is that what I find with attachment is that all of the pain is right in front of you, actually. And the way I want to say this in a different way is that I often tell my couples clients that your biggest concern or irritation or struggle that you experience from your partner is more about your pain and attachment than them. Because what they're doing is touching on that pain that they've experienced in their life. Mm-hmm. And their partner is just living.
They don't have all the context.
Right. They're living and they're being themselves. Mm-hmm. And then this partner here who is like upset, like my husband does not pay attention to me, right? Let's just put this as like a example, like doesn't pay attention to me, doesn't care about me, doesn't give me time. And then when we talk about it in the context of their therapy together, right? And we talk about, okay, what do you do? What time do you spend? And it's not like clean cut, but a lot of times you actually find that partner is trying all the ways to please their significant other, and they try to sacrifice, they try to do. And I'm not saying that just because you have this complaint this is the key thing, but I'm trying to just give an example. And then you find that like the reason why they don't feel cared for is because if you look at their historical pain, mm-hmm. they were emotionally neglected. They were physically neglected. And so they're searching for someone to fill that pain who is their significant other now. And so whenever they even feel the slightest hint that that's coming close, there's anxiety, there's fear, there is the lived experience that comes with the time travel of trauma. You're feeling like that 3-year-old who was crying and no one ever came. No one ever comforted. And because of that, they've learned that loneliness is a horrible experience. And so what I'm trying to say is that when you look from an attachment lens, you can see traces of their historical pain playing out in current relationships. And that is wild if you really think about it. How are you experiencing it? I'm watching you digest it.
This is like making so much sense to me because I think, I guess I have like a couple thoughts. So I have a supervisor who's gotten me really into Sue Johnson, who's emotion focused therapy. She does a lot of couples work. And as I've been doing more of my own research to feel like I am a more competent couples therapist, I don't work a lot with couples. It's not something that I have a lot of training in, and it's not something that I actually feel very something that I particularly enjoy.
So not to refer anybody to you then.
Not right now. not right now. I'm working on it. Okay, and as I've been working on it.
Yeah.
I've been finding a lot that that bad couples therapy is focused on communication rather than emotional connection.
Yes.
And Sue Johnson says anger is a protest against disconnection.
And say it again. Say it one more time. Let it sink into my bones. Say that again.
Anger is a protest against disconnection. I love that.
Yeah.
And I think that that kind of speaks to that trauma that when we get angry, when we feel disconnected, when we have bruises that have not healed, that are still sensitive, that if they are just lightly brushed up against, we have a strong reaction to that. And in an attempt to protect that wound, we do some crazy things because we're not going back to that 3-year-old who wasn't comforted, who wasn't taken care of. Or sometimes we're just stuck there, and so we're acting like a 3-year-old and doing crazy things. Like there are a lot of different ways that we can respond to that that pain.
And the way that I, in my work, I often go into this state with folks and go, tell me about what that 3-year-old part of you needs.
Yeah.
And some folks see it as like bizarre, but when you really just sit there and listen and go, okay, the pain that I'm feeling that we just identified from when I was 3, what I really need is, and your body will tell you, and it will tell you over and over, and if you don't listen to it, it's going to keep telling you. And that's where we do our work. And the truth is that no one can do it for you. The adult you has to really show that younger part of you that those feelings are important. That pain was real, and we're living in the memory of it right now. And this is the core of using the trauma lens, where we're teaching the nervous system that what we're experiencing now is attached to old templates of pain. And what we're feeling now, if you really look at it, is I feel disappointed that my partner chooses to look at their phone while we're at dinner. And that is still painful. But it's not, oh, my partner's looking at the phone. They don't care about me. They don't love me. I am never loved.
Those narratives.
Yes, yeah. Which those narratives live. Mm. Live in their nervous system. And that three-year-old part of us is screaming for love. And so, yeah, I think it's complex, right?
Yeah.
Because to even identify what that was, when that was, how that was, takes bravery.
Hell yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Which I often find when clients of mine are very articulate. They use big words. They're thinking like,
very intellectual.
Oh, right. Very intellectual, which I don't think is a bad thing.
No.
I think it pulls us away from the work of being grounded and connected with our bodies, mm-hmm. right? Because our body keeps the score, right? You know the book, the one with the figurines. I wish there was a camera right now. I'm putting my hands up, you know.
Yeah.
I always butcher the name Bessel van der Kolk.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
And if I'm wrong, I'm human, right? That it. It outlines it in that book so clearly, right? And the research is accurate, right? Even the brain scans tell us that our brain cannot differentiate physical pain from emotional pain.
Right.
But that's the job of therapy, that when we do this work, we can say, this pain is historical pain. And it hurts, and I want to grieve it with you. And if we want to heal, it has to be nested in the context of historical. It has happened. It hurt. And right now, I am here. I am my age now. I am not three.
Mm-hmm.
And that part of me still needs nurturing and needs to feel safe. Because I think one of the common misconceptions in parenting, which is everything to do with attachment, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that we're trying to go, hey, can you fix my child's behavior that I'm uncomfortable with,
mm-hmm.
because I don't know how to regulate my nervous system when my child is throwing a tantrum.
Mm-hmm.
And so fix them so that I can feel good. But really what we need to do is understand, what are those pains within me? And how am I feeling when my child is interacting in a certain way that maybe mirrored what I would do or what I did? And what were the consequences that happened to me when I did that? Would I have gotten assaulted? Would I have been verbally berated? Would I have been shamed and told to not cry? And those echoes of pain that exist in the now of a child's pain coming out in that context of that relationship will tell you very clearly why it bothers you so much that your child cries when they don't get what they want in Walmart. We're traveling through generations when we look at pain through attachment, because the pain that the parent felt is the pain that was inflicted by their attachment figures who were their parents. So here's to you, right, parents? The way you treat your child is the way that your child will view the world, and that they will treat their children, and that is generational trauma. And so when we treat attachment in this way, we're actually healing generations. And that's why as a Kanaka, it works for me. Because when I see the person, I don't just see them. I see the pain that has been passed down. I see the power of mm-hmm. who they are. And I can see what movement, excuse me, what movement can come. What changes can come when they heal those attachment wounds. I'm seeing you like in like deep thought, and not just because I want to cough, but I want to hear what you're thinking. Take me with you, because you're experiencing something when I'm saying all of this. What is that?
Well, I have a lot of thoughts. And I also think it'd be helpful for you to explain what Kanaka means.
Sure. Sometime after this.
Yeah. Because I think that's a really important piece of some of my thoughts. And we've had kind of a conversation about this, but about how that bigger picture of this being generational makes that work so much more important, so much more meaningful, and needed. And I'm also like, I'm thinking about what this feels like. I think that, I'm trying to get my words.
Can I actually invite you? Because I think this is where I would go with my clients, right? You're having a visceral experience. And then when I ask you about it, I say, what's going on? And you're trying to stay cognitive. And can I invite you to just go to what was felt in your bones, what was felt in your system?
Yeah. It's a feeling of, validation isn't the right word. Mm. It's a deep sense of being seen. Mm. And I think that that is a powerful experience. And thinking about, you know, experiencing that trauma, having those difficulties with connection, and being in couples therapy where you're trying to work on your attachment with your partner, mm-hmm. and being able to go through the historical trauma, the historical pain with your partner. Mm-hmm. And to have them be there and to feel seen,
yeah.
by your chosen partner. Mm. So that they can understand you in ways that your parents couldn't. Mm. That no one else can. Mm. But to have that with someone that you love and cherish, that you champion and that you hope champions you, mm-hmm. I just can't think of like a better joyful experience,
yeah.
a more healing experience mm. than that deep sense of being seen.
Yeah.
And I just think that's beautiful.
Yeah. And I want to invite you as your friend, right? That I know that you understand it in your brain, but when you speak from your heart like that, that's the emotional work right there. That you can feel the importance of this as you envision what you're saying. And it is such a raw, sacred experience to do attachment work in this way.
Yeah.
And that's what, in some ways, and maybe I'm just thinking grandiose, but this is what sets me apart as a therapist, where I'm looking at this as you're bringing generations of pain into this relationship from both sides. And part of growing together is actually grieving together. And I'm going to say that one more time.
Please.
Part of growing together is grieving together. And one of the assignments that I often do with my couples is to say, when you're experiencing that pain in your system and you can identify that as being attached to historical pain, your assignment in that moment, however hard it is to say, when you said XYZ to me, it hit this old pain. And in order for me to hear you and to heal this with you, you need to understand where I'm coming from in this. And that my reaction to you isn't personal. It's just raw. Mm-hmm. And so I often tell these couples to dig into that grief so that they can attach to each other. Mm-hmm. Because if I know my partner doesn't like when I do not listen, or do they perceive that I'm not listening? Because I love that chosen partner, I'm going to put work into that to know that my lack of attention triggers historical stuff. And so I'm going to put some love into this, right? And all of a sudden now, we're in vulnerability, right? And it, and I heard you talk about communication, right, as the default setting of couples therapy.
It can be a place to get stuck.
Right.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, it's like, well, yeah, I got to tell you this, this, this. But really what the invitation, the way that I hope for my clients is that if you can be raw, you can be honest with yourself and with your partner, then your partner has an opportunity to show you true love. And if they don't respond, I think it's evidence, right? Evidence to what pain maybe they're experiencing, and maybe evidence to how attached you are in general.
Yeah.
And sometimes the decision is to not be together. Sometimes the decision is to take time to work on your own pain and then come back to the process of couples therapy. But I refuse to do work without attachment, because if I don't, I'm treating symptoms, right?
Yeah.
And if I don't, I can live in the world of my head and not in my heart, right? And to go back to what you're like, maybe it's important for you to say what a Kanaka is, but
yeah,
it's a native person. It's a person who is from the land, who understands that context, who understands whose family they come from, the heritage of who you are. And interestingly enough, right, with this definition, you know your attachments. And if you are a Kanaka, a native in that way, right, then you understand who you are in all of those contexts and who you can become, knowing that all the pain, all the strength, all of the generational power that comes and lives through you as the link, right? The link who is alive now, that you're not alone. And that's what I love about attachment. Because when I feel alone, I can remember, I got my grandma with me. I got my grandpas with me. I got all these people who I don't have names for, who know me and watch me and maybe regret the way that they live their life because they passed down some trauma to me by the way that they behaved with my parents, or maybe the way that they didn't behave with my parents. And so, yeah, grief to me is the key to healing attachment. Yeah.
I love that. And I'm feeling a deep sense of connection with you now. Yeah. As I am thinking back to different experiences. I mean, we've known each other, what, six, going on 6 years now?
Yeah, yeah.
And a lot of our experiences together have been cultural experiences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Aotearoa, New Zealand, mm-hmm. Big Island, Hawaii. Mm-hmm. A lot of our conversations mm-hmm. and deep discussions mm-hmm. are around culture.
Yeah.
Around other ways of knowing, other ways of seeing. And I love that when I am reminded by you and take the opportunity to remember those things about myself, I get great power from that. I even think back to, you know, for those that aren't familiar with the process of becoming a psychologist, when you're interviewing for your residency or your internship, it's a very stressful experience.
Oh yeah. It's high stakes, right?
Yeah. And I remember a lot of times they'd ask you to tell them about yourself.
Right.
And I love to talk about where I'm from. What made me me. I talk about being from the Midwest. Hardy stock. Hardworking people.
Yeah.
I loved being able to talk about, I'm Rachel Beth Chapman.
Yeah, there's Paul right there, right?
I am named after one of the most incredible women that I know. My grandmother, Beth. I know what my name means. Because I know where it's come from.
Yes.
And being able to say, I am Beth Chapman's granddaughter, and she knows what it means to work.
Yes.
And being able to say things like that in an interview.
Right. With raw power, just like that.
They were able to say, there's something different about this applicant. There's something different.
Yeah. And I love that you're naming it, because it's not just unique, right, to Hawaiians, Native Nakamali, people in this, yeah. Right? I think where it comes from is the rawness of connection, right?
Yes.
That's where it comes from.
Yes.
If you know who you are, right, in the Hawaiian context, of Waikoinoa, right? Like, who are you? Right? Where do you flow from? Right? And that's everything to do with attachment. Whose blood flows in your veins? And I saw that in your eyes when you just said that about Grandma Beth. Because the truth is that your grandmother made you. That when she made your mother in her womb, women are born with all of their eggs. And so you are her. And that's what it means to connect an attachment to those who came before us. Manava. That connection, that piko, that part of us that is connected from the top of our head in Hawaiian ways of knowing to those who came before. And I saw that power in you, because I know that you know who you are because you know her. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what I learned from you. And so I'm feeling a deep sense of gratitude.
Yeah.
Because you know yourself. You have that ability to connect. And you share that with others.
Yeah.
And that is contagious.
Yeah.
That feeling, that depth, that power, people want that and more of it.
Yeah.
And not power, not in a greedy way.
Sure.
Right. Like that's it's a different kind of power that I'm referring to.
Yeah. It's the rawness, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I appreciate you saying that, but I would not be honest if I didn't say that it came from those who came before me.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
My grandfather was a chiefly speaker, and he did his thing. And see, so he spoke with power. And so his blood is in my blood. I am him.
And you honor him.
Yeah.
By using that gift that you've been given.
Yes. And I honor others with the other gifts.
Yes.
And that's what I would hope for my clients. That when you understand your attachments to the past, you understand yourself in the present. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing more powerful than that.
What a gift.
Right?
That can be.
Yeah. And as we're having this beautiful moment right now, I want to invite others that are feeling something in their now, in your gut right now, that tells you this is important. This is a reason to go to therapy, actually. Not just because you're anxious, not just because you're depressed, but maybe you want to know who you are. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're curious of your attachments and how it impacts your well-being. And how it impacts your relationships now.
And I would even go as far to say that's each of our individual responsibility. Mm. What has happened to us, the trauma that we have experienced, that we have picked up generationally, is not our fault.
Oh, I love that. Speak.
And it is our responsibility. Mm. To work through.
Yeah.
To find healing, to find resolution, so that what we pass on to the next generation can be better, can be more trauma-free. I won't say completely trauma-free.
Right.
Because that's part of humans.
Yeah. Yeah. When you're saying that, I'm feeling the nudge to be vulnerable here. Mm. I never understood it until I did my work, why it was so raw for my father to experience my grandfather as an alcoholic. Because I didn't understand, and it's hard to diagnose right through the other realm. But when I understood that I have ADHD, I need that dopamine hit. It made so much sense as to why my grandfather and my father chased that with alcohol. That my grandfather would go and drink and then come home, and then he essentially hurt my father and my uncles and my aunt, right? And he changed over time. But to understand that lives in me, that pain, and to recognize why it's so intense it was for me, for my father. I don't blame my father, but I grieve that with him. And I grieve the fact that he was hurt in that way. And I think it's just important for all of us when we face our pain without shame. Then we might unlock something. Yeah.
Yeah. And what a gift that will be to your next generation.
Yeah. Because, you know, I got through with ADHD, so. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. We're not afraid of alcohol because we just know that it's the dopamine hit.
Well, and just having that context allows you to meet your father, meet your grandfather with understanding and compassion.
Yes.
It allows you to see them more fully.
Yeah.
Love them for who they are and recognize you are medicating. You were doing the best you could with what you had.
Yeah.
And yes, people still got hurt.
Yeah.
And I can still see you. As a whole.
Yeah.
Maybe is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. That it's complex, right?
That it's complex.
Yeah. And this has taken grief, years of grief, years of reflection. And I don't expect folks to get here because you're seeing where I'm at now.
Right.
You're not seeing all those years of feeling like life was unfair.
Right.
Or being upset about why I was being treated so harshly or why they're so strict, right?
Which might have been decades.
Right. Yeah.
And the sooner we take responsibility, the sooner we say, this isn't my fault, this is my responsibility, I need to work through this.
Yeah.
The sooner we get to where you are.
Mm. Careful now, I'm not there yet, but.
But the sooner, okay, fair. The sooner we get to healing.
Right.
We get on the journey of healing.
Yeah. Come join us, right?
Come join us.
Yeah. Thank you for this time, Rachel.
Thank you, Bongo.